Are you suffering from back pain? Well, I've got the thing just for you. 15 surefire tips for relieving back pain, plus 192 others just in case, volume 1, available at Amazon.com. Over 30 million Americans are suffering with back pain at this very moment. The vast majority of these cases are either caused or exacerbated by common lifestyle factors. Many of the same factors may be causing you pain right now. Join board-certified physician Andrew Kirshner as he guides you through the parts of your life where these problems occur and gives you simple, safe, and effective solutions for these common daily pitfalls. In this fun and informative book, you will learn how to identify the aspects of your life which may be causing you pain, how to create a back-friendly environment, how you can improve your pain by improving your sleep, ways to make a pain-free commute, how you can perform daily activities without making your pain worse, and much more. Andrew Kirshner is so well respected in the field of back pain relief. He has, famous clients such as DJ Jazzy Jeff. He has done many talks and lectures at universities in the UK. He has appeared on QVC demonstrating back pain relief products, and that is because he is an expert in his field and people trust him. Also, check out the 5-star reviews on Amazon.com. This is the book that you need if you suffer from back pain. That's 15 surefire tips for relieving back pain, plus 192 others just in case, volume 1, available at Amazon.com in paperback. Check the link below the show for more information. Episode of Hands Off the Merchandise on BBG Wrestling. I am Pablo, and with me is the bombastic Bob to my bodacious Bart. It's Foxy from Grapple Arcade. Hello.
I knew that's who I'd be out of the two. I don't know why, I just knew it.
I still get them wrong. It was kind of weird on the arses. It says ME, so it just says me on the arses, whereas Midnight Express was always MX, but you know.
ME, it could stand for main event, it could stand for chronic fatigue syndrome, it could stand for a number of different things actually. ME, like that, all sorts, couldn't it?
Yeah, main event certainly wasn't what it stood for when it came to the new Midnight Express.
Unless they're on about the new WWE main event program that they had on TV a few years ago, which would have been exactly who it was set for.
Anyway, we're not going to completely wrap up today because we have a wonderful guest live with us on Hands Off Merchandise. This isn't a pre-tape. We haven't been preempted by the Westminster Dog Show or anything like that. This is a live episode. Yep. So, before we get into all of that, we're going to plug everything first. Where can you find us? Foxy, hello.
Number of places. So, for example, you can get yourself on that Twitter and twitter.com and check out at Grapple Arcade. You can also check
now.
Out...
People have Twitter apps now, to be fair, though.
Do they? No, Twitter.com. Twitter app. at Grapple Arcade, at BBGW Pod, and at BBG Wrestling. You can check all that out on Twitter to find a bit more about what we're doing with competitions, everything that we do in terms of our guests, our interviews, the lot. But also on, I think we're on Facebook under the Grapple Arcade. We tend to post a lot of our live events on there, and on YouTube, Grapple Arcade, for some videos. I've just actually uploaded a figure finding video from yesterday for a brand new Smith's toy shop opening.
And you found me a lovely
lads, mate.
Yeah, you did.
I found loads of stuff.
If you follow Turnchuckle on Instagram, you will find my review of what he found me, because it was a bit lovely and I wasn't expecting it. We'll look out for each other, you see.
We do, man. Scratching backs. Scratching figure itches or something like that. I don't know what these hashtags are all these days. Well, that's another story. Crack on, Pablo.
Well, I was going to say crack on, Foxy, and introduce today's guest.
Well, indeed. We have got our good mate, Alt Kev. How are you doing, Kev?
Awesome. Yourself? Yeah, nice to listen to you. I'm okay.
Good, mate, yeah. good, man. Kev is responsible for, well, firstly, we'll get into why Kev's on the show. Kev is here to talk about an upcoming book that's about to be released very, very soon. Something that we are very, very excited about, getting our grubby mitts on and having a gangle at, because it's to do with WWF Hasbro figures. But linked to that, Kev's also linked to us in regards to the custom Hasbro competition we are currently running on Twitter, which we'll talk about later. But Kev, welcome to the show, mate. Firstly, thank you for coming on. And please, mate, tell us a bit more about this book.
Yeah, it's just a plain old book. Obviously, it's about wrestling. So the action figures of the early 1990s, and it's by myself, Kevin Williams, released with Amberley Books, and it features every single WWF Hasbro wrestling figure and other little bits from my collection that I've had. So it's coming our way on the 15th of October, 2019. So not long now.
That's awesome, mate. Can people get it from Amazon and places like that? Or where can people hope to pick it up from?
All good bookshops.
Excellent. Oh, that's great to hear. So you can walk into places and physically pick up a copy off a shelf and stuff?
Definitely. You've got W.H. Smith selling it, Waterstones.
Oh, yes.
So we've bought Hasbro's back to the retail world.
That's amazing, mate. Really looking forward to reading that. Yeah. So tell us a bit more about it then. So what led to you doing this? Why do that? I mean, apart from the obvious reason, such as I like Hasbro's. So I'm glad you did. But why decide to go down the book route, mate?
It's just something you love, isn't it? So I've collected since the age of 5, and yeah, I've had all sorts of wacky figures in my time. I've still got most of them. So, and I thought I'd catalogue my book, catalogue everything I had, catalogue my collection, let myself know where I'm at with everything. So I've done that. Then you show one or two people, and you know what they say? You're mad.
We get that quite a bit. Pablo gets that quite a bit.
I'm not mad.
Well, I know that you've showed a few bits and pieces online. I mean, as well as your figure collection, some of the merchandise. You see, you're a man after our own hearts in the sense of collecting the weird and wacky bits and pieces from yesteryear. Tell us a bit more about that, mate. What are some of the more interesting pieces you've got?
Other than the Hasbro stuff, well, with a lot of signed items, I've got like a signed Winged Eagle title. That's probably my prize item. But at the minute, because likely to change.
Who's it signed by?
From Warrior to Brett. I think Vader's on there, Piper.
Wow.
Kamala, Marty Jannetty to Brutus Beefcake to Sonny, Axe Smash Demolition.
I always thought that Kamala's WWF title run was unjust. Like, I don't think many people remember it, to be honest. But no, I mean, that sounds like an amazing piece. I know I've seen some of your more weirder, unique, like random stuff as well that you've posted, like early 90s prints and things like that. I've seen some random bits that you've posted over the years.
You know what? I got talking to a guy about 6 weeks back, mm-hmm. and he had absolute tons of posters. So it's like, to see what he's got. Next week he's pulled out an old Ultimate Warrior poster, Hogan, Bulldog, Brett again, and everything for that 91 era. I was just like, wow, man, I need to have this stuff.
Brilliant.
But the best thing with that lot, he goes, I've got a Home Alone 2 poster as well if you want it. Who doesn't want Home Alone? It's like, it's gotta be done.
Excellent, mate. Oh, that's grand. Well, no, we seriously can't wait to get our hands on the book and read more about the collection. And I'm a fan of books and I'm a fan of Hasbro's. I won't go into too much about other things to do with those two subjects, but what I am looking forward to is being able to pick up. It's not something that we've seen yet. And it's something I'm really, apart from catalogues, and there's something about looking in a catalogue, there's something about looking in a book and seeing stuff that you really like, you know, like a friend of mine, I'm not going to give too much detail away because he wants to keep it a bit kind of hush-hush for now, but he's working on something similar to do with another retro wrestling product. So that's it's completely different, but it works well. You know, it's a similar spectrum, if you like.
I don't envy anyone trying or having a book similar or even the same. It's like good because I'm a fan just like you, and that's what it's about.
Completely, and that's it. And it's going to be great for people like me who want. I'm adding what you've done there about your collection to my collection. That's what's quite trippy about the whole thing, if you know what I mean.
The collection's become better now.
Fourth wall, broken, gone.
So with the book, obviously you have like a passion for Hasbro figures, as we all do. The fact that sort of there was a lot of talk about Hasbro's now, and the sort of the market has went up with them. Not saying that you're like exploiting the market or anything like that, but did it kind of the renewed interest, was it kind of like something that spurred you on to think, oh, some people might actually want to read more about this, or was it something that you'd had planned for a little while?
Well, I've got another book, but I only released it for a week on Amazon Kindle. This is in 2012. It's called Kev's Toy Guide to WWF Hasbro Wrestling Figures. And that was just something again I drew up on my computer. So it's just the thing of like, I absolutely love the old school wrestling. So get it out there. And with that, I took it down after a week. I thought, I'm not entirely convinced by it. But there's one man who had a copy of that. Who do you think it was?
Zack Ryder?
Close, Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, wow.
He had a copy of the book, did he?
Well, it was only like an ebook.
Still.
Yeah, I've still got it on my computer stored away somewhere, so.
That's amazing. Maybe. Well, I mean, Warrior was very passionate about the product that was released of him. I mean, you know, you've heard the stories about his Classic Superstars contracts and his Mattel contracts, where you would have one of 100s, one of 20s, all that kind of stuff made specifically for him to sell. And I'm sure he did quite well off it, but he also had control over which costumes were released in figure form as well. So especially with the Classic Superstars, you saw attires that never even made it onto TV, like the Terminator gear from Classic 14, like the green and pink gear from Classic 3, which he only wore on like some episodes of Superstars, all that kind of thing. So yeah, Warrior was massively knowledgeable about his own product, and I'm sure he loved reading about it from a fan's perspective as well.
Yeah. Well, he was absolutely awesome to meet. One of my heroes from growing up. So for him to have a copy of that was just mind blowing. So, but to come back in and say, oh, it's not a thing to cash in, because if you see what I had like deal, it's really next to nothing. But it's just for the fans. It's like, come on. What I'd love is someone of our generation to pick up a copy and said, I had them toys. I'm like, oh, I love this. And like, they reread through it, and they're not the mainstream collectors. They're just like old school wrestling fans and trying to get back into it.
Well, that's the thing as well. I hope you didn't take what I said like in the wrong way. Yeah. It was just, you can tell when it's written, like something is created by a fan because they're passionate about it, because, you know, it is a thing that like, you know, a lot of people are interested in again, and especially with the new the now finished retro line, you know, it really has
the retros have got to have finished, haven't they? So I think it was a bit of a poor effort, really. It could have been better, couldn't it? So nice to see it come back, though.
I agree. I don't know if myself and Mark have different views on this, because I thought if there's anything I should collect, it should be these retro figures. They didn't make too many names from what they should have made at the time, sort of thing, those 94, 95 names. Like, I'm really glad they got Diesel out in the end, although it was arguably a bit rushed, I would say. They could have made it look more like the Hasbro prototype, which, you know, we've since seen with the spring arm action and all that kind of stuff. It has introduced a new audience to Hasbro figure, which is, I mean, it's great, because my Facebook feed and Instagram feed is just full of, you know, figure collectors now, which, you know, which is always great to see. But yeah, Mark, I know that you were as excited as I was about the idea of the retro line. Like, how do you think over the 10 series, do you think it was executed?
Too many years. Well, you go first, buddy. You go first, man.
Sorry, yeah, I think there's a lot of repros there, wasn't there? But this, we needed the old guys, as you say. Right, over to Mark. Sorry, go on.
No, not at all, mate. Not at all. Too many dropkick figures. I'm going to get that one straight out the bat. too many dropkick figures.
People who'd never threw a dropkick, like Goldberg. You know.
Goldberg, yep. And the only time he did kick somebody, it didn't really end well, did it? Let's be honest. But I mean, it's one of those things where I think that they could have been better. I was lucky enough to pick up, I've got everybody from the first three series, put it that way. Anybody who came out, I've got, including the harder to get chaps, such as Reigns and Owens from those first couple of series. I think since then, a mate of mine who lives down in Australia, who I sold my mail-aways to, randomly sent me a Sheamus in the post once out of nowhere. So that was pretty cool. I'm trying to think who else I've got. If I've got anybody else. Oh, yes, I picked up Sheik and Ryder actually very recently because they just happened to pop up in a random toy store in town. So if they're going to pop up, they'll pop up. And if I see them, I'll buy them. But I'm not going to be scrolling through the internet looking for them. And I think that says everything about how I feel about them, maybe. They could have been a lot better in terms of the names that they came forward with. I'm really happy that they gave this a chance and gave it a go.
Yeah.
I think for me, I'm really hoping it's a hiatus and not the end of it, because they seem to be telling everybody it's a hiatus. So maybe they're using that time to go back and think about it a bit based on the reception that they've got, especially about the bloody distribution that was assigned to it, because it was shocking, especially over here in the UK. Unbelievable. I mean, we've still got, I mean, that figure video, that the figure findings video at Smith's, and then I went next door to B&M and then went to the Entertainer. They've still got series bloody 3 on the shelf. Like, I mean, it says everything. They've still got series 3 on the shelf, and the line ended on what, series 10 was, yeah, it,
yeah. Series 3 was the Attitude Era, Triple H, Austin, Kane and Mankind, wasn't it?
No, who am I thinking of? With am I thinking of series 4 with Reigns?
It might be
not Reigns, with
AJ.
Collins.
AJ and,
yes,
all that.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, I'm getting confused with series 4.
I'm terrible with numbers, because the thing is, I think series 5 was meant to have Flair, and I was kind of excited about that, and then obviously it just never came out, so I was just like, okay, fine.
It's interesting. I mean, yeah, we were hard done to over here, and that's probably half the reason why I'm so bitter about the line, to be honest, because if I'd have seen them in the shop, I would have bought them, put it that way. And I like the idea of being able to add them to the line, but it is what it is at the end of the day, and we'll see what happens going forward. You never know.
I think it was probably always meant to be 10 series. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think Mattel have played all of their cards with that, or like showed the hand sort of thing, because 10's just like a perfect number to end it. And the fact that Diesel ended up in series 10, they probably planned for Diesel from series 1. And
yeah, of course they did.
Definitely got it out, because they'd be definitely under a Legends contract. But I mean, yeah, there was names that so could have easily been made, like a USA Luger. You know, there was lots of call for a Jerry Lawler. You know, there were possibilities, but yeah, as you say, it is what it is.
We'll see how it goes. I mean, there's a lot of people's different opinions about who really controls what with the releases of figures, and about why they release at certain times, and about who's very influential, if you like, in the figure collecting world. I'm happy that people are. Let's put it that way. At first, I was kind of a bit unsure about things, but the more that time's gone on, I'm so happy that so many people are involved in it, because it just brings so much focus on it and highlights it, and it makes it fun to talk about, and so much more people have kind of got a bit more of a knowledge about it to have discussions with now. So I'm happy for that. I really am. It's a fun time. It's a fun time to be a wrestling fan, in my opinion. It's a fun time to be a wrestling figure fan, in my opinion. We spoke about this on the interview that we did with Eric Arana, regarding the Master Republic figures that are coming out, the Legends of Lucha Libre. And one of the things that we mentioned is that it's so fun to see so many wrestling figure companies kind of working together, if you like, because they know that wrestling fans want figures in scale with other figures that they've currently been collecting. And that's amazing to see. One thing I will very, very quickly say about my discussion with Eric that I caught up with him recently, actually, following the interview, and I want to put it out there because I know I've had a few people question saying I didn't ask him on the interview. We didn't put it in the interview because it just didn't really necessarily require it. But afterwards, anyway, I spoke to him because there was a photo taken of several Legends of Lucha Libre wrestling figures at the big event that they held, where they had all those amazing photos taken of Rey Fénix and Pentagon and all that. There was four classic Lucha figures in Hasbro form. Right. Now, I've reached out and asked them about that, and they were literally customs for the day. They weren't some kind of interesting sculpt that they're coming up with, because people got their hopes up. Let's put it that way. People thought, hang on, Mattel's line's finished, and now there's all of a sudden there's a Lucha line coming out. Have they bought molds and things? You know, that's what was asked. And the answer is no. They were just some fun customs on display at the time. But I'll get back to Eric Arana, and later on when we're talking about the custom competition, because there's some really fun news I'm going to break later on in this chat. But anyway, yeah, sorry about that. Crack on.
Well, I was going to say, Jesse Ventura says it best, that wrestling fans are the most loyalist and cleverest people you'll ever know. And it's true. It's like the collectors world today. There's so many good collections out there, new, old, whatever. Wrestling fans are loyal. They know what they've got, and hopefully they'll get a good whack with AEW coming out and the Impact. Hopefully that has a go and everything else. So as Jesse says, we're loyal, and that will do for me.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, then this is kind of links nicely into talking about our loyalty as Hasbro fans, so to speak. I mean, let's be honest, we've all been massive fans since the early 90s, and you can't get much more loyalty than that, can you? In terms of things that you like and collect and you spend money on, and we still spend money and we still talk about avidly since the very, very well, the beginning of the 90s. So what got you into Hasbro figures then, Kev? I mean, how did you become a fan of them? When did you become a fan of them? What was your first figure, etc.?
Ultimate Warrior from Series 1. It was WrestleMania 6. So I'd seen WrestleMania 6. I was like, what's wrestling? And next I was like, wow, what is going on here? This is just brilliant. Two guys beating hell out of each other. I think it was the Daily Mirror, or could have been a Daily Star, something like that. They had adverts in for the wrestling figures. And my dad brought it home from work, and he shows me. He's like, have you seen these coming to the stores? I was like, all right, okay. So next minute, save up your pocket money, buy as many as you can. And, you know, from there, it's just continued on. So right from the birth.
Indeed.
That's amazing.
Go on. Like,
the WrestleMania 6 is usually the answer that you will get from someone of our age in the UK, because that was the first pay-per-view shown after the Sky, the B Sky B merger, and they were heavy on promotion at that point. You know, that's why everyone loves the sticker album from that time, and of course the Hasbro figures as well. There probably will have been a massive influx of just stuff in like 1990 sort of thing. So like, yeah. I totally get you know, the Warrior thing. Like, funnily enough, my friend, because he was getting into wrestling at the same time as well. Actually, he was into it sort of in the late 80s, because Sky did show stuff in the late 80s as well. He knew there was a new Ultimate Warrior figure coming out, all these Hasbros and stuff. They look like amazing on the ad. And don't get me wrong, love Hasbros and everything, but he was so let down by the size of it, because he couldn't play with it with any of his other toys. He had like no other Hasbro figures at the time. And yeah, he was kind of like a bit disappointed by that. But obviously, as his collection grew, you know, as with everyone's, then you have more stuff you can do with them. And
then you start becoming more let down by the other figures that they aren't scale with Hasbro.
That's true. Well, for me, you know, I've told the story before, but it was Christmas 1992. I was into dinosaurs at the time. I don't know particularly why.
Can't be a good old dinosaur in Jurassic Park, and I think
well, yeah, it's one
gimmick that we haven't had yet, really, isn't it? And
a dinosaur wrestler.
Well, we do now, I suppose, but we didn't back then.
Well, yeah, no, I got the WCW ring, because it must have been cheap. That's the only reason I could have got it as a Christmas present, because it wasn't like I was into wrestling at the time. It came with a Ric Flair and Arn Anderson, and then I got the Undertaker and Big Boss Man Hasbros. And I just remember the first time ever seeing Hasbros in shops, there was a co-op. And they had Hasbro figures, which just seems crazy now. But like Co-op, Tesco, what everyone wants. If everyone remembers that shop.
Unfortunately, I've still got memories from there.
And they were good for Mega Drive games as well. They had loads of stuff on discount. Oh. I remember just one Christmas, I've got a picture of me just, you'd cry. I'm just ripping open the Hasbro figures. But, you know, I got good use out of them. But I remember I must have got about 20 Hasbro figures from What Everyone Wants one Christmas. After the, I mean, there was, for newer sets, as I became, not more knowledgeable, but more aware that new sets came out, sort of thing, because shops stocked the older sets for years, for whatever reason, either just so mass-produced or whatever. But I had no problems getting, like, Series 1 in a shop in 1993, for example. But as for like the newer sets, like the red card and the purple cards and all that, it was, we have a shop called Phoenix, which stocked them. There was John Menzies, and I think that was basically it for like for new figures. But there's this legend, and I've definitely told Mark about this, that because I've heard this from different collectors who don't know each other, but Christmas Eve 1994, Phoenix stocked one case of the green card Hasbros, and they were gone in about 2 minutes, sort of thing. So collectors must have knew that they were coming in. Not that they would have had any value to them back then, but Phoenix did actually stock the green carded Hasbros, which sounds mind-blowing now. But the special thing about that was Phoenix was the first shop that stocked the retros when they brought them in. So like, I had to go and buy the purple gloved Undertaker, because I was like, that's amazing. And I put the old Hasbro, the 1993 red card jacket on that Hasbro, and it looks pretty cool. But yeah, that's kind of my Hasbro story. This is like Alcoholics Anonymous, but for like Hasbro collectors, isn't it? So,
well, you mentioned John Menzies there, mate, and that's definitely basically where I grew up for quite a long time. John Menzies was about 100 yards away from my gran's house. My gran was a wrestling fan as much as I was. I told the story before that her dad used to be a doorman for wrestling in the 30s and 40s up in Scotland. And she told me this story about how he used to do that, and I was blown away by it. She used to watch, she bought me my first VHS, which was the Best of Saturday Night's Main Event, the white one with the, you know, which one I mean, cracking one. And yeah. she was a great gran. Not literally, if you know what I mean. Yeah. But she was awesome. And we used to watch a lot of wrestling together, her, myself, my brother, and WrestleMania, as you mentioned, and what else? So all sorts of stuff, all the way through to the late 90s watching, and early 2000 watching Nitro on a DSF German satellite thing, and bloody ECW on Bravo as well. She was a top lass, put it that way. But she bought me my first figures, which was, there was two things. I 100% did own the wrestling Hasbro ring which came with the mail away Hogan.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Not the mail away one, but you know, the one in the placky bag, the series one Hogan that came in the plastic bag.
Yeah.
The people have liked it existed and not exist. It 100% did exist, and they sold it in Bishop Auckland and John Menzies and Woolworths. that's what I got it from. I remember specifically opening up the packets on the day, because I also got a warrior from that from series one, and Teddy Biossi as well,
yeah,
the two of the figures that I got. So I started with three figures, and one of them came with the ring being Hogan. And I'll never forget it. And it was just such a cool time as a kid growing up with those figures. I was lucky enough that we had a sketchy satellite dish that was picking up loads of foreign channels and European channels at the time, before Sky kind of came up.
Yeah.
I love that you say that on air.
Oh, I don't mind at all. I mean, it was one of those satellite dishes that was massive as well. It was like the size of the top of your car. It was just stupid. You couldn't hide it. It was like illegal before people thought it was illegal. You know what I mean? So before Sky came along and monopolized what you were allowed to do with your satellite dish, basically.
Yeah.
But it used to just pick up loads of German channels, loads of European channels, loads of American stuff. And I think it was All American Wrestling, or possibly there was two. There was
Primetime.
What was it? No, I'm positive it was All American Wrestling. The one that went
All American. Yeah.
All American. I'll remember the theme tune as much as anything else.
Sounds like a football chant.
Yeah.
It sounds like something between Match of the Day and when Sergeant Slaughter turned face. Somewhere in between. But yeah, I'll always remember that. And it, you know, it coincided with the sort of, I can't remember whether it was 91, maybe I got my first lot, maybe 92, started 92, same as yourselves, around the time frame. Within a couple of years, started, you know, getting hold of the SummerSlam trading cards, the sticker book. It all came at the same time, basically, during just before the big 92 boom. And then the 92 boom came, and then, you know, then everybody else had everything as well, and it was mint.
Because album was WrestleMania the album. You know, it's a good place to start. I'm going to have to take a picture, but I've got a... I got this reasonably recently because I hadn't had a boxed Hasbro ring for, like, years and years. And the one that I've got, it's an Asda exclusive, and it there's a yellow sticker on it, and it says comes with free Hogan and Savage. But obviously the Hogan and Savage aren't there because the stickers have already been put on it and stuff like that. But how many Hasbro rings did you break?
I broke somebody else's before I broke mine, and that was a nightmare because then my parents went out and bought them a new one, and I was like, no, and I was good. And I can't remember which way around it was, but I remember they had different, because, you know, there's obviously the different sets of ring posts. Mm-hmm. There's like your blue and your black, and then there's the flat tops, and then there's the rounded tops, you know. So there's pretty, I think there's four in total that you can realistically get.
I don't think I ever had a rounded top ring post ever. I had blue and black, but never a rounded one.
I always only had the flat tops, and that was, I assumed that was a standard at the time because of the dropkick figures.
Might that have been, that's true, but it might have been European, like more European ones.
Probably, more than likely. You could get them though, because like I know that I can't remember which way around it was, but whichever one I broke of my mates at the time, he had the same ring as me. But then they went to the shop, and we'd had them for like a year or whatever. And then I broke it accidentally. They went to the shop on the same day and bought me a replacement, and he had the opposite colour, whatever I had. And to remember, us both having different coloured rings and different colour ropes, and his looking pristine, obviously, and mine looking like I'd just been scraping it with paintbrushes or something due to the paint chips off the figures that you'd smashing about.
They were so easy to break, but at the same time, they were so easy to buy from like car boot sales for like £2 back in the day.
Like, I've still got my original flag with the stickers on it. Like I haven't changed the sticker. The stickers are a bit creased, but I've still got my original flag. I've still got the original ring the first one I ever had. I mean, the stickers have peeled to smithereens. Mm-hmm. I think I've got about four, five or six up in the attic, to go through. What about yourself, Kev?
Yeah, I was going to say, when did you become like a conscious collector as well?
Well, what, like, buying mint on card and like wanting the best condition, that was about 2000, I'd say, just as I was getting into the internet and like discovering, wow, eBay exists. I didn't know about this. Also, there's a website called Chair Shop Figures. I don't know if anyone remembers
that. I do, yeah.
And I think the guy was called Simon Goles, who run it in London.
Great memory, man.
And with him, I'd love to talk to him again because I'm convinced that I have loads of error cards and I have loads of information, because he was my go-to guy in the year 2000. So I used to send him
checks. If you can do the legwork, Kevin, if you can find him, get him, and I'll help you look for him, and then we'll see if we can get him on the show.
Yeah.
And we'll come on, we'll have a round two of this with him on, hopefully.
Yeah, because he must have information, and maybe he knows other wrestling information, I don't know, but he had like yellow King of the Ring wrestling rings, mint in box, £85.
Yeah, today.
I bought a mint, absolute mint, Adam Bomb green card, £40 off him.
I'm pretty sure it was him who I got three, like, loose, but three demolition helmets off him. I'm positive it was.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
It was around the time for him.
Yeah, really good guy. Because as I said, I was sending him checks off every other week. And said, got any other stock? And he goes, oh, I'll be getting it in. And he'd always come up trumps, fair play. And he's affordable. He's very good. I liked him.
Awesome stuff. No, I mean, it's a lost art being affordable in the wrestling figure world.
We'll
hopefully get back to that point. I know, and without, you know, being to plug anything, I think we're hopefully getting to a point where things are a bit, not necessarily the retro stuff, obviously our collectible stuff, but more modern stuff. I know there's a few online retailers in the UK that are I'm starting to stock stuff that are harder to get normally, and they're not the worst for prices either. You know, it's getting a bit more accessible because the differences between now and then, wrestling figure companies now make things purposefully exclusive, whereas back then it was just based on how many had been made, and it was what it was. You know, it wasn't necessarily intentional. exactly.
Collectible items now, they're toys.
Indeed, indeed.
Collecting, so it's good fun. You know, you still get your bargains, you still have to fork out for something you want, and you still regret buying half of it.
The thrill of the game's there. So I like the fact that the thrill of the game's still there. You can still go digging, you can still find stuff if you look hard enough and in the right places.
Absolutely. Well, I want to ask you both about your setup in terms of when you played with figures back in the day. Because, right, okay, I'm going to embarrass myself now. I never really used the WCW ring, apart from the cage, which I kind of weaved it in between the ropes of the Hasbro ring, because that's the only way you could do it and make the cage kind of stand up. But you would never put the front of the cage on, because obviously you've got to, like, reach into the ring and stuff like that. But in terms of, like, a setup, I had, like, a little stool, which I still have. You were stood on it today, Mark. Just to give you an idea. So I would put, like, a little sheet over it. That was the curtain. And I would have, like, sort of the WWF logo on top of it. And I would use videos as, like, the guardrails. Like, they would go, like, all the way around. And, like, you kind of, when you look back on it now, it's kind of, one, you really had to use your imagination, because, like, I don't know about you guys, but, like, you would do the voices of two commentators. So basically, you sat there by yourself having a conversation with yourself. You would also have to hum the entrance themes, because, you know, we didn't have CDs with entrance themes on or anything like that. And you also had to, like, either pretend that figures were other wrestlers, because they didn't make that many in terms of, like, names, really. Or you use, like, say, your Batman figures or anything like that. It's, like, you know, like, unique characters and all that kind of thing in your own universe. So, like, what did you do as kids when you were, like, playing with them?
For me, well, I'll start off. I'll say that the first thing I did was take the WCW belts and use them either as tag team belts or an intercontinental belt. I don't know if you did that yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it made sense. They fitted right. Obviously, I did the old cage trick and weaving it in and out of the ropes. I was adventurous in playing the theme tunes on video.
No, that's pretty good. That's effort. That, you know, like, I just, like I said, I just hummed them. So, like, in my head, they sounded amazing. But, like, you know, obviously,
yeah, we used to have little matches going on as well, friends, and let's go around to someone's garden and let's see who could win and all this. And it's just like, wow, brilliant, you know. But I wasn't as imaginative as you, Pablo. I'm sure of that. But maybe Mark's got a few things to say.
Well, yeah, one or two. Now, bear in mind, there was me and my brother, okay? So we played with the figures together pretty much all the time, every day. Now, the thing is, our imaginations ran wilder than Hulkamania. We were out there, man. So, to start off with, we had our Royal Rumbles, and we had a big blue box container, and all of our figures were in there. And the way that we did our Royal Rumbles, we put our hand in the box and swirl them around.
I did that.
Just with a 10 countdown. And we go, 3, 2, 1, duh. We both look at each other simultaneously and say, who is it? And I'd pull a figure out, and it was probably one of the Legion of Doom, so we put it back straight away and got somebody else out. What I mean is, you can feel who it is. The element of surprise was really fun. So if you knew it was Legion of Doom or Yokozuna, you kind of, like, they were always last to come out because you knew who they were because of the feel of the torso. But it was, who is it? Skinner! Like, and that was great fun. But I mean, so that was an obvious one. When we were on...
Your dad's Sting as well from the Galoobs.
Exactly. Yeah. You're always looking, if you could feel for an arm, grab an arm. It's Repo Man. Brilliant. And So we had that, and then we had I believe that we invented the concept for Legends House, because we used to use the old Ghostbuster house as a place where they would go and chill out and be friends with backstage, influenced by watching rock and wrestling as kids, where you had them as mates. So we had the Ghostbuster house as like a sort of chill out house where they all used to just, you know, chill out after the matches and talk about their upcoming matches, things like that. So that was good fun. Then it got a little bit more nerdier, and we kind of, one of the things that you said there, Kev, we used to do, we used to watch the wrestling videos for theme tunes, but we used to record the theme tunes with a talk boy and play them back. Yes. Play them back. Yeah. Nah, totally. Yeah. So that's what we used to do, and we spent hours going through every single tape that we had to try and capture as much as we could of every wrestler's theme tune. And then the ones that we didn't, we'd hum them, obviously. I tried to do a Casio keyboard version of Rocket Owen Hart's.
Yeah.
It wasn't working, like.
That reminds me, when this is jumping ahead a bit, but I kind of, with No Mercy in particular, the game, because you could like watch the matches, I had my own like Fed and everything, but like I got to WrestleMania and I had a friend come round, and I actually made him stand up while I played America the Beautiful on the keyboard.
That's punishment.
But when I was younger as well, I had a little like a bingo tumbler machine, so I actually did draws.
Oh.
So like I actually like, but I didn't just like do the draw. I had the wrestler walk into the room, you know, have the announcer like chat with him, and then he picks his ball out, and then, you know.
Genius! It's amazing that we're still having discussions and finding things out about our wrestling figure habits, like 2 years down the line of us starting all this nonsense.
Well, what I used to do as well, do you know how at the start of the Rumble pay-per-views back in the day where Vince would like say all 30 names to like some music?
Yeah.
I would do that.
Ultimate Warrior. Yeah,
I did all of that as well. Like, I think I only really, as time went on, ended up doing Rumble matches because they were just fun and you could use all your figures in one go. I didn't really do like much in the, like one-on-ones or Survivor Series or tournaments or anything like that. I just ended up doing Rumbles like all the time. It was always like, it was unique to, it was kind of cool that being more of a WWF fan, and don't get me wrong, I love WCW, and in the early 90s, WCW was everywhere in the UK because of the UK exclusive galoobs, the cheaper videos, it was on ITV and stuff like that. So it meant that you could get names like Arn Anderson and Elegante and Barry Windham, who were also in the WWF at one point as well. So it kind of felt like, in a way, you were getting like a dual figure sort of thing. But
I remember the first time my gran, bless her, I didn't like it on this day, but she bought me, honestly, I remember the day I opened up a birthday present from her and it was Big Josh, and I was good at the time.
Yeah.
And of course you would be. Big Josh. Who's Big Josh? I don't know who Big Josh was. He was wearing a beanie hat and some jeans. Yeah. Who's Big Josh? And then obviously later on in life you're like, I wish my gran had bought me Big Josh.
My introduction to a lot of those early 90s WCW characters, like PN News and, you know, Johnny B. Bad, were from
San Francisco Toilet Maker line.
Toilet Maker.
San Francisco Toilet Makers. They're cracking. They're brilliant, mate.
Well, the thing is, it was the, I don't know if you ever had this, but it was the annual that came out in 1992, and it was almost like a graphic novel of all the comics that were released. And there was
that was Sting on the front.
The one with Sting on the front, and there was a battle royal. Royal where there was like this conspiracy to eliminate Sting by these hired goons, and you found out that like spoilers, like Luger was like the heel who had hired the goons to eliminate Sting and all that kind of stuff. And that just like captured my imagination back then.
You know that turned into the NWO. Pretty much, mate.
Was that annual the same one that had like a super Superstar bio thing, and it would ask ridiculous questions like favorite sauce to put on meat and things like that. It was like ridiculous, like, and Arn Anderson was like, oh, a bit of relish, do you know what I mean? It was like ridiculous answers, like favorite food, I like fries, a bit of steak, bit of relish, and it was just like ridiculous things that you wouldn't, and people said, like, you just know fine well that they'd never been asked, but the editors are just having a bit of a laugh with this and coming up with stupid things like, oh, I watch a bit of news round. And
oh, it's like Just 17, where they interview pop stars, but they're interviewing wrestlers and stuff. Like, there was a European tour program from 1993, and I'm going to have to show you. They asked the wrestlers different. Obviously, these answers are just made up. But they ask IRS, what's your favorite meal? Chicken Diane.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, I remember that, yeah.
And the interview Terry Taylor, and his favorite meal was broiled rooster.
So, like, yeah, red rooster. Yeah.
Someone's definitely having a piss day. I mean, they could have asked him, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. What year was that?
God, those.
What was that? Go for that, sorry.
I was just saying, what year was that? That particular
93.
Okay.
During Terry Taylor's very failed 1993 attempt.
Who was writing back then for them?
Was that the era when Bulldog went to WCW? Was that 94?
It was 93. 94 was, I don't know if you saw the Bulldog on his UK tour in 94.
He did that mini sort of tour before he went back to WF, didn't he?
Yeah, he came to Gated Leisure Centre. Yeah, I've got pictures. I've got a picture of me and Bulldog somewhere, and I've not been able to find it. And one day I will actually find it. But it was great because I've never seen. There was like a bloke dressed as a Power Ranger, there was all that kind of thing, and Bulldog was the main star. And I remember halfway through for the intermission, kids just got in the ring. It was like an ECW riot. But with just kids like bouncing up and down on the ropes and stuff like that. But my mum met Diana Hart in the toilet. She was like, I was just like, that's insane.
Did she sell some San Francisco toilet makers?
What was that?
San Francisco toilet makers. Oh, I'll leave that one there.
Armitage Shanks, the head of San Francisco toilet makers. If we were one of those podcasts, we'd have a T-shirt of that by now, and we'd be making millions of it. With
podcasts, okay.
So, what other early wrestling memorabilia did you have, Kev?
Oh, a lot of sticker albums, videos. I've still got them somewhere. They might be buried in the garden or something, but they're here. Videos are brilliant back then. You know, I still love the old videos.
The videos were everything. Like, I'm sure, like, you just wore those videos out, like Greatest Steel Cage matches and High Flyers and all that kind of stuff. Like,
Put nine of them together on the floor as well became a really good sort of wrestling ring for your figures as well. If you'd like, if you were on tour, if you were like on holiday or you were on your grand's house or something, you didn't have your ring with you. Put the tapes together and you've got a wrestling ring.
There you go. But you know, with Silver Vision, the intro music, do you remember it?
Yeah.
Well, that's basically our theme tune, isn't it?
We've ripped it and done our own version of it.
Well,
SummerSlam, Survivor Series, clothesline.
Clotheslines, drop kicks that you're after.
Yeah. Could you imagine like a porn version of that? It wouldn't be good, would it?
Wow, wow, chicken, chicken, wow, wow.
So if it's. Rim jobs. Leave that one there. That you're after. Reach around.
Oh.
Right, we'll leave that one there. We're going to do now is move on to the segue. We're going to move on to the Twitter poll.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is we're going to have a chat about here. Can you remember which wrestling Hasbro you said that you two lads said was your favourite of all time?
Yeah,
Kev, who did you choose, Kev?
Macho Man number one.
Macho Man series number one. And yourself, Pablo?
Macho King number one. One with the crown and the scepter. Because they released two of them. As you know, the one without the crown and the scepter, which I saw in a shop and was like, oh, it's a different card, but I just didn't, why would you get it? You know, it was one of those kind of weird things. But yeah, no, the first Macho King, I just think the fact that they gave him like a tan. And I love the gold and the purple and the white. And I was thrilled when Mattel eventually did like a Macho King figure. So yeah, Macho King for me.
Yeah.
Wicked. I know Chris from BBG, the rest of our extended family, went for Series Yokozuna. Yeah. And I went for Rick Martel because, you know, we needed an underdog in there and it legitimately is probably my favourite Hasbro figure. I love that mold is my favourite mold. So it's the same as Macho Man Series 1 mold, the HBK and Matt Jannetty singles molds. I just love it. It's just my favourite by far. So the results of the poll were as follows. In fourth place, it probably comes as no shock to anybody, Rick Martel.
It's a good figure.
It's like, a cracking figure, but it's just because it's Rick Martel, isn't it? But I said Shawn Michaels, I tell you what, it'll have been far up there. So it just goes to show you, people have used name preference over mold preference.
You want a fact about the Rick Martel figure? This is very obscure.
Go on then.
Channel 4 years ago did a documentary series on, like, called I Am Now A sort of thing. So you'd have someone learn to become a ballet dancer or a jockey or whatever. So you had someone learning to become a wrestler.
So it's a Rick Martel Series 5 figure. Is that what they've learned? Yeah, one of these days.
Learn how to become a Rick Martel Series 5 with that snap arm action. So he lived in a flat, and I don't know why I remember this, but there was a fish tank in the flat, and one of the toys in the fish tank was a Rick Martel figure.
Wow.
That's like the most obscure fact you'll ever hear in your life. Yeah.
It is.
I got that.
Change the world.
Got Martel.
Well, in third place.
This is why our shows like end up like 2.5 hours because I just ramble on. Anyway,
we decided to go for a 45-minute show, but we thought we'd do that in the first like sort of 5 minutes. So, in third place was Yokozuna with 20% of the votes.
Wow, I'm shocked. I'm shocked.
Yeah, so a bit of a jump from my 9% Martel. In second place, Macho King Series 2.
Get enough.
26% of the votes, and first place with a whopping 45% of the votes from 100, however many people voted, 110 or something. Macho Man Series 1, Orange Trunk Macho Man, 45% of the votes, which is an amazing figure. Let's not beat about the bush here, when it is the kind of one of those iconic images you see on people's profiles and on this, that, and the other. You know, it's a cracking figure.
Series 1 is special. I mean, the advert with Jesse Ventura and everything, it's just, you know, it is iconic. I mean, not much more can be said. But, I mean, yeah, so congratulations, Kev.
Indeed, yeah. Mate. Well done for that. Well done.
I was going to say, it's almost like you should release a book with that keen eye for what the fans, as good Hasbro figures. So,
you've clearly got the knowledge. You've got the knowledge and you know what people are after.
Yeah, I'll have a think about it.
Well, leading on, I suppose, quite nicely to us having a bit very quick, well, not quick, but a bit of a natter about the competition that we've got going. We kind of had a bit of a natter. I know that me and you had a bit of a discussion leading up to announcing it officially. I'd been thinking about something for a while. You posted something. I thought, bloody hell, great minds think alike here. So we got in touch with each other and we mentioned, why don't we run some kind of Hasbro-themed customizing competition in which proceeds can go to charity? And then we started plotting from there about how it works. So just to give it a bit of a rundown for our listeners who maybe aren't so much aware of the competition yet, if you go onto @GrappleArcade Twitter account, it's a pinned tweet at the moment to give you a full detailed account of it all. But basically, we opened up a competition and 8 people have been chosen from the people who put the names forward. The idea is that we go through our collection of knackered old beat up Hasbro figures that aren't really worth displaying because they can't be they don't look like Hasbro figures anymore. Some of them have had bad tar accidents and things of that kind of nature, have been left in the garden for 20 years, things like that, so they're a bit knackered and a bit moldy and a bit this, that and the other. We decided to pick 8 of those out at random and assign them randomly to the 8 contestants who are taking part in the competition. We're going to be sending those figures out to each one of those competitors, and they're going to be making whoever they want from the wrestling world using that Hasbro figure. They're going to rejuvenate the figure. They're going to recycle the figure and make it look spanking new, making it look lovely. From there, we'll be putting each of those figures, well, at least pictures of those figures, up to a Twitter poll and getting the audience to decide on which is the best, which we've taken everything into account. People can take before and after shots, they can do a little biog as to what they made and how they did it if they want to. It's completely up to the contestants as to how they want to sell themselves as their figure being the best, the winner. Eventually, a winner will be decided from that poll, and we're going to be sending them a whole bunch of goodies. I'll get into that in a moment. The other part of the whole thing is why we're doing this, which is equally important, if not more so, obviously, than the actual competition itself, is that the figures are going to be sold However, the customizers want to, whether that's online auction sites, whether that's in private, whether it's on social media groups, whatever it happens to be, they're going to sell those figures, and the money that's made from those figures is going to go to charity. And I think it's an important part of this. It's not just recycling some cool figures and getting people out there a nice new piece in their collection, but the money that's made is all going to go to charity, which I think is a worthy cause, and I'm glad people are taking to it, to be quite honest. Linked to that is the wonderful people who are donating prizes for the winner of this. So first of all, a big massive round of applause and a thank you to Kev, yourself, mate, for donating one of your Hasbro books. Really appreciate it. And I know there's a lot of you should wear that second place Macho King crown and scepter right now, basically. There's a lot of people who are really, really looking forward to this book, mate. So I'm glad that's going to be up for grabs in the competition. We also need to put a shout out, because they announced it today, to TTD Wrestling, who makes incredible Hasbro-themed graphics. I know he's done some stuff for like Zack Ryder and stuff, and he's done some brilliant prints out there. Oh, absolutely.
I just go through his Twitter feed every day and it's like, what's he come up with today? I'm just like, wow. Wow.
Oh, he's so good. It's not just the style of which he does it, his artwork, if you like. It's what he's coming up with and what he's making with that art. He's donating a print of his Hasbro Series 1 collective art piece, which is amazing, which is great. I'm going to formally announce now that I'm not going to say what we've arranged yet, but I'm going to drop an exclusive out there. We're in a couple of discussions at the moment, and I've been given the nod to mention it. Zach and Kurt are putting something into the competition for a prize.
Oh, fair play.
They're going to be sending over quite soon a little goodie bag of... well, to be honest with you, I've been chatting with them and they've decided to keep it a mystery from me, which I think is pretty fun. I can't wait myself. So they're sending something out.
Randy Savage prototype, Rhythm of Blues, Greg Valentine, all that kind of stuff,
Oh, there's, absolutely. So it's as much of a carrot dangle for me as it is to the listeners and the competitors.
Wow.
But something is en route. That's what we've been told. I said, can we formally announce this? They've said yes. So go. Awesome. It's as much as I can really kind of deliver on that one at the time being. So watch the space. So thank you, lads, so bloody much, because it's really appreciative. And we hugely appreciate it. And I'm sure everybody involved in this whole thing will be as thankful and grateful as we are, because it's awesome that people like that at that caliber are getting involved in it, to whatever size and shape that they send. It's just awesome. Talking to somebody else about something else, which I can't discuss right now. But the other thing that I can discuss is that Eric Arana, who we had on recently in regards to the Legends of Lucha Libre line that's coming out, the one that's in scale with Mattel, and they're knocking out the figures that are about from as Ray Phoenix and Pentagon, and they're bringing out a Conan and all sorts of bits and bobs to do with that line. He has just contacted me and said, can I create a figure for this competition?
Wow. Oh, yes.
So Eric's going to be making a custom, and we're working out how that's going to be. Yeah, I've said, well, why not make it a custom piece that we can sell and put towards charity rather than anything else? So Eric has reached out and he wants to make a custom Hasbro figure for the competition, which I think is amazing. That led me out thinking, get me pants back out of the shed now as well. Not that it'll be anywhere near that kind of caliber, but it's been a long time since I made a custom figure. I used to thoroughly enjoy it back in the day, hence why we decided to do this. So I'll probably knock one up for the charity fund as well.
Doesn't say a lot as much as anything else, like, the community, the wrestling figure community. It is.
It's insanely good.
Yeah.
Like, they're just all good, nice people. And I know that I'm not going to dampen anything, but I know there's raised eyebrows towards certain areas and elements within, if you like, about certain things that are happening. But collectively, everybody comes together and wants this to be fun. And the fact that there's charity-related things involved with this, and people are like, yes, let's get involved with this. I'm overwhelmed, to be honest, and very pleased, and hopefully it's something that we can carry on doing. The plan is that we'll see how this goes, and fingers crossed it'll go without any hitches, and it'll all be amazing. We'll make a few quid for charity, and then we'll announce the second one in the not too distant future, hopefully, once this one's all wrapped up. But yeah, I'm overwhelmed. So again, thank you to everybody involved. I'll quickly announce now for the chaps who I know will be listening to this. They've been made aware, and I've made people aware on Twitter as well, that we're going to mention the names, the contenders, and the figures that we're going to be sending them. Sorry in advance, lads, because they're all smashed up to smithereens and look like terrible, terrible things from hell. So Pat's Unknown has got Greg Valentine. Rob Dannett has got Sid. Snow Jordan has got Hulk Hogan from Series 1. Petrus has got Typhoon. Eye Candy Tattoo has got Mr. Perfect. Coach Fennec has got Brian Nobbs. Hasbro Maniacs has got Bret Hart. And Johnny Sunshine has got Razor Ramon. Some names in there that people will be familiar with. Some names in there that people won't be familiar with. But I've seen the work of these guys, and it is impressive, to say the least. An interesting factoid about the Razor Ramon that Johnny Sunshine is going to be receiving is that it has been coloured in, previous to me owning it, by the way. It was coloured in a black permanent marker. Guess which bloody Razor Ramon it was underneath. No word of a lie, you can still see the purple underneath. It's disgraceful. So, Johnny, no pressure, mate, but you're going to be trying to rejuvenate a purple Razor Ramon figure, you know, that is completely in mint condition, obviously. So crack on, Sunshine. No. So, yeah, highly looking forward to this competition, this tournament. Thank you once again to everybody, every single person involved, whether it's the people or contenders, people putting prizes into the prize pot, or even people just liking, commenting, retweeting, getting the word out there. We really, really appreciate it. So thank you.
Yeah, one retweet means a lot, because if you get the right guy and they end up bidding on it, then hopefully more goes towards the charity, and that's what it's about.
So, Kev, mate, thank you very much for joining us today. I know that we ramble quite a bit about figures. It shows our passion for it, and I'm glad we could get somebody on who's equally as enthusiastic about it as we are. So cheers for coming on, man.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. The best UK wrestling podcast.
Number two in Jamaica iTunes, I'll have you believe, you know. Hey, have you hit it? Hey?
It's good laugh. It's good fun.
Indeed, man. I'm glad you came on, and we'd love to get you on again, because I'm sure there's a lot of crossover with the other elements of our Hands Off the Merchandise platform that you'd lend a hand to, I'm sure.
We've barely scratched the surface. This was like a lot of reminiscing, but so much. I mean, you know, our opinions on particular figures, etc. as well. I know people would be interested in, you know, it seems crazy, but like wanting to know what we think as collectors as well, and getting someone like yourself who has this book, you know, getting your opinion on particular figures would be something unique and something that everyone would like to check out, I would think.
Yeah, and yeah. I fully agree with that. And we don't get me wrong, there's so many other cool collectors and people who specialize in pods too, with figures out there. The Fully Posable Crew, for example, absolutely banging lads. Our friend Nick, who's a massive collector and always putting us in touch with different people. There's so many people in the community that are just awesome. So it's you know, doors always open. Love to get some of you guys on too, along with Kev. And likewise, we'll always happily come and have a chat with you. But yeah, Kev, where can people find you, man?
Twitter, tweet_wrestling, whatever, tweet-wrestling, I don't know what you call it. Just have a search on there, you'll find it. I'm on Facebook as well as Kevin Williams, so just have a search, you'll find me. So come and say hello. I want to talk about wrestling too.
Do you still haunt the forums?
I do, but not as much these days.
Not as much as you used to. No worries, mate. No. Well, what was I going to say? Get Kev on there at tweet_wrestling on Twitter. You can get ourselves at Grapple Arcade and at BBG Wrestling. And Pablo, plug yourself.
With what?
Whatever you want, man. Plug yourself in.
I'll not.
I'll leave that one there.
Yeah, I'll not touch that with a.
Would you want to be banned?
Yeah, try and plug yourself with an elegant WCW figure with them sharp fingers.
Oh, man.
That would require some surgery to get removed. Gone. Anyway. Oh, I know. Anyway, sorry. Yes, for this kind of filthy carry-on style humour, you can find Turn Chuckle on Instagram and on Twitter as well, where we also make guest announcements. I review stuff from me, ever-expanding, ever-nerdy collection that, like, defies the logic of how I have a social life and friends. You know, I have wrestling packets of crisps, and wrestling pop from Israel. So, you know, if you like that kind of stuff, then you need to... Oh, I've got Tatanka pop from Israel. I call it buffalo juice. I have an unopened box of Stridex pads from with a WWF sponsor on it. You know, all that kind of absolutely nerdy shite, which we all love. That's me. And take it away, Mark.
Well, thank you very much for coming on, Kev, and we hope to see you all again in the near future. Cheers for tuning in, people.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.